Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. This is still a hard story to hear. And it certainly isn't the first time any of us have heard it. Heck, it isn't even the first time this year that we've heard it. We heard it back on Good Friday, that dark and somber night when we are confronted in song and story by this horrific moment in history. So why are we reading it again? Why are we reading it on Christ the King Sunday, the day when we celebrate the end of the liturgical year by honoring the reign of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ? This is no triumphant tale. This pericope paints no portrait of power or pomp. What kind of king are we striving to show the world with a story like this? This story filled with horror and humiliation. This story where Jesus, our God in human form, is mocked, tortured, demeaned, and killed. This is how we honor and proclaim our King. This is what we read on Christ the King Sunday. This is what our King looks like. It's hard to make sense out of any of this in our heads. This story of Christ the King just doesn't match up to any of the images of kings we can conjure. Kings are supposed to be powerful, rich and mighty, seated far above the hoi polloi, the everyday people. What do you think of when you hear the word king? I'm really asking, what do you think of when you hear the word king? Huh? A crown. Sure, yeah. What else? Savior. What else do you think of when you think of king? Ruler. Someone who's in charge, right? Strong. powerful, wealthy comes to my mind, right? Mighty. When we think of kings, we think of grandiose figures. We think of immense wealth and unchecked power. We think of someone who gets whatever they want at the snap of their fingers. And surely this king, more than any other human king, could have done just that, right? This king, through whom the entirety of all creation came into being, this king who will make straight all the paths, bringing the mountains low and raising up the low places, this king who will destroy the power of death and come again to judge all. This powerful, powerful king. And he does what? I want to invite you to grab your Bibles. You should have one in your pew front or underneath your seat or beside you if you're sitting in a chair maybe. And I want you to go to the middle of the book and find Psalm 8. Psalm 8. I'll give you a cheat. It's on page 497. Psalm 8. Just as we did a moment ago when we read that passage of Luke, Zechariah's prophecy and proclamation over his newborn son, John the Baptist. We read it together, and I want us to read this together now. Does everybody have it? Psalm 8. Let's read. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our God is a God who is mindful of us, who elevates us. Throughout Holy Scripture, especially in the Gospels, God pushes us to reshape our understanding of ourselves in the world. God asks us, encourages us, challenges us, dares us even to see things in a new way. Not just how we see and understand them, but to strive to see just how God understands them. God beckons us to free ourselves from the rigid way we grasp on to all the things we think we know and embrace what God tells us to be true. And this word king, this idea of king, this sense of what and who and how a king is in our hard little human heads and hearts, is just like all those other things God is calling us to redefine. I think it's especially hard for us as Americans to conceive of Christ the King. We have a complicated relationship with kings in this country. We set ourselves apart through war to become a nation with no kings. There are those who have taken to the streets these days in protest of what they believe to be a reclaiming of kings. And so for many, even colleagues of mine who struggle with this sense of Christ the King, Sunday, it's grounding in patriarchy or in old understandings of what a king is like. These help us to have a pretty complicated relationship with this sense of who Christ the King might be. We struggle with understanding this day because we can't quite reconcile our idea of a king and God's idea of Christ the King. Christ the King. What kind of king is this? One of cosmic power who is concerned with the infinitesimal. It's a hard word. The small, the tiny. Christ the King, one who lays aside his incredible and unfathomable power for the sake of you and me. Christ the King, who becomes so small for the sake of everyone, everywhere, forever and ever. There's a line in the movie Aladdin. You guys know that movie, the Disney cartoon? When the genie, voiced by Robin Williams, announces himself. And he says, phenomenal cosmic power. Itty bitty little living space. God sets aside God's power to take on the itty bitty living space of human form and then submits himself for the sake of the world. We are used to having it the other way around. We are not used to this idea of making oneself smaller than we are for the sake of the world. We are used to having it. We have this idea, the rugged individual, the self-made man. This is the American myth, the American story of how the little tiny guy made of himself an enormous empire and success. But this is not how God works. Frankly, it's not how the United States works either. God takes unfathomable greatness and becomes small, so small, just as small as one of us. But it is in that smallness that the true cosmic powers of God are revealed. For in humbling himself, Jesus, Christ the King, brought love and healing to all the world. I want you to get your Bibles out again. I want you to find John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'll give you the page number as soon as I have it. Page 88 in the New Testament. Sorry, they start over again. The numbers start over again in the New Testament. But towards the back, page 88. We all know and love that fabled, famous, favorite verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. But I want to read John 3:17. Will you read this with me? Everybody got it? All right. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. If this is how God understands a king, what does that mean for us? I have a confession to make. I really didn't want to get out of bed this morning. It was so comfortable and so cozy, and truth be told, it's not, and I got here later than usual because I didn't want to get out of the bed, but truth be told, it wasn't because I overslept. I did that last week. This week, I just didn't want to get up. I woke up an hour before my alarm even, and I still didn't want to get out of bed. And as I lay there in bed trying to pretend I was being productive, I started to go through all of the little steps I needed to take in order to get out the door and get to church to do my work. And as I started to think about those little steps, flipping the covers off, stepping my feet onto the cold floor, shuffling across, shaving, showering, figuring out what I was going to wear, all of those steps, I started to think of the incredible machinery that this weird body is. The amount of molecules attaching themselves to other molecules, bouncing around, the synapses in my brain, sending electrical signals to every part of my body, telling it what to do, one tiny little movement at a time. I thought of each of those little steps. And as I sat there thinking of each of those little steps, I kept thinking, yeah, but I don't wanna. I wanna stay in bed. I wanna do what I wanna do today. And that means staying right here under these covers. Very often when we think of ourselves, of our time, of the steps we need to take, the things we need to do, good or bad, I don't know about you, I still almost always start from that place of, I don't want to do it. Even the stuff I want to do, I go, ugh. And along with all of those teeny little steps comes those teeny little grumbles, one at a time, but you get moving, you get up, and you get it done. The little king inside of us loves to say, well, me first, okay? Let me take care of the things I need first. Let me be aware of all the steps I need to take before anybody else needs to be walking alongside of me. Those little things can be little kings driving our self-centeredness. Those little things can also be little kings that overwhelm us. What could I possibly do to be helpful anyway? I don't have that much money. I don't have that much time. I gotta eat first, don't I, before I can feed someone else? World hunger? What am I supposed to do about that? This morning, driving in, having mostly overcome those little grumbles, those little overwhelming thoughts, surprise, surprise, a song got stuck in my head. A song I learned as a kid, maybe many of you did too. Maybe you knew it as an adult. Maybe you've never heard it before, but the song went a little something like this. Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, please bless these seeds I sow. Please warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down. Inch by inch, row by row, I'm going to make this garden grow. What does it look like when we seek to be the little Christ the King that is in us, rather than those little kings that demand a little more covers for just a little bit longer? A little more comfort for just a little bit longer. Now, I know that none of us in this room have that incredible cosmic power that God has. But I do know that each of us have got a little something, don't we? And when we choose to lay some of that power aside, to use it for something more than just ourselves, what can happen? Over the course of the last several weeks, we have heard a lot about what can happen. We heard from the health cabinet, who talked about the community garden. There's that song again. Or the play space, a safe and warm place for kids and families to be on cold winter days. The community garden that provides food for VEEP, for the community, for those in need. And not to mention the health and wellness they tend to hear in this congregation, with walks and talks, with blood pressure checks, with all kinds of opportunities to learn about living healthier lives. We heard from the Children, Youth, and Family Ministry team, who strive to educate our young people in the ways of faith, to journey alongside them, to foster and to help them develop their sense of relationship with God. We heard from the music ministries and the worship team here at Christ the King, who help to provide meaningful, beautiful, and moving worship experiences, opportunities for us to express our joy and thanksgiving to God. We heard from the library, who brings us all kinds of cool little, almost pocket-sized pieces of wisdom and guidance, illumination on the ways God is active in this world. We heard from the quilters, who covered this place just a few weeks ago in 100 quilts made by their hands, made in their loving fellowship, and then sent out to children, seniors, veterans, anyone in need of comfort and warmth. We heard from the public witness team, who seek at every turn to advocate and to be an activist for those who are on the margins of society, to push our leaders and help those who are helping. We heard from Shine and the Judean Circle, providing opportunities for fellowship for women and opportunities to study and pray together. We heard from the Church Council, who diligently serve to lead this organization, to engage and practice the benevolence of this organization, this community of faith, this congregation. And we heard, this week, we'll hear from the Chore Corps about all the important work they do to beautify this space, to keep this space safe and running smoothly. Work that they have done that has provided all kinds of space and opportunities for the ministries of this congregation to take place. Housing homeless people. Feeding hungry people. All of these ministries and so much more are global support through global health missions, through our sister in China, our support of the Lutheran Church of Christ in Nigeria, even our support of Tapestry Lutheran Church, a bilingual ministry in Richfield, Minnesota, just across the freeway. All of these things come through the generous contributions and support of you. The little inch and by inch, row by row, that you help to make this garden grow. When we use what little we have to glorify God and to express the love of Christ, it is amazing what we can do. When we put God and the neighbor first, when we practice true generosity, when we make ourselves smaller for the sake of the bigness of all, we really begin to recognize what God means by King, by Christ the King. And, well, what God means for Christ the King. Amen.